What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Central Virginia Sport Performance Podcast. Today, guys, we're going to get down. We're going to start talking about a voyage into coaching from a unique background and really a unique starting point with Aaron Abraham. Aaron, thanks for spending the time with us today, bro.
Thank you, Coach, for having me. It's an honor, for sure.
Yeah, man. So listen, before we get too far into this, let's let everybody know, you know, who is Aaron and how'd you get where you're at today?
Yeah, first off, before I start rapping about that, I guess I want to definitely say thank you. Your podcast and your resources is kind of one of the first like resources I dived into as a young strength coach and coming up. So definitely thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad to hear the kind words, man. Thank you so much. I'm glad that somebody listens. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually started in strength and conditioning really early at a young age. I had a strength and conditioning gym class in high school, and my gym teachers were strength coaches, and I kind of just like fell in love with the weight room at a young age. And I played basketball in high school, and I was a terrible athlete, so I was always in the weight room because I was always getting hurt. And so that eventually drew me to exercise science in college. I played lacrosse for 2 years at like a Division III school. I basically just walked on the team, but after that, after 2 years, I transferred to Eastern Illinois because I kind of knew I needed some strength and conditioning experience, and the school I went to before didn't have a department there. So I went to Eastern Illinois, and I got a chance to intern there for 2 years. First year, I was with Olympics. Second year, I was with football, and that was kind of completing my undergrad experience there. And then after that, I kind of did my internship circuit. I was at Northwestern University on the Olympic side, and then University of Tennessee on the football side. And during that year, I struggled taking the CSCS. I believe I took it like two or three times, and I couldn't really land a GA spot because I couldn't pass it. So every internship I went to, they just kept sending me to more internships to get more experience. But when I was at Tennessee, I eventually passed it, and I landed at a school called Millersville University, a great Division II school. For anybody that wants to get into coaching, Division II, Division III, great spot because you get like 7 or 8 teams. You can assist with football, basketball, really make it your own. And you learn a lot about coaching and leadership at the smaller schools because for me, it was just me and my boss. It was just two of us with like, I think it was like 18 or 19 teams. So it was a great experience. After a year at Millersville, I went to University of Notre Dame for a 1 year contract position on the Olympic side. Definitely learned a lot about being held to high standards and going from a school like Millersville to Notre Dame. I kind of 10 times like how many bosses I had, right? So every day, like I was getting checked by somebody and learning new things in terms of like, am I doing things right or wrong, or learning new training methodologies, new leadership tactics. And then after Notre Dame, I eventually graduated with my master's degree, and now I landed where I am today about a month ago at Eastern Michigan University, where I oversee men's basketball and women's lacrosse. So that kind of leads us to today.
Yeah, and let's go back a little bit here, I think, because one thing that does get kind of a bad rap is, bad rap's not fair to say, right? But people think that if you go to Division II or Division III, that getting into Division I is almost impossible. But let's get into some of the pros you found working at Division II. What was that like, and how was that sort of a takeoff point for the trajectory of your career?
Okay. That's a great point, because going from the other schools to Millersville was, I was kind of looking down on it at first because I didn't even know where that was. I didn't know what school that was. But when I got there, it was amazing. So I feel like the smaller the school, I think most people know this, the less resources they have. And so that means the more you can put your fingerprint on things. And when I was there, so I oversaw men's and women's soccer, tennis, golf, and I believe it was a few other sports, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But I also assisted with football and basketball, and I went to every basketball home game. And so I was able to get my hands on almost everything. And I was required to go to every football game and help out in the locker room, help out on the sidelines. Even at soccer games, I was helping out with game management and things like that. So really it helps you get a tab on like what the whole athletic department is and where you stand as a strength coach. And learning from just one coach, it gave me a really close relationship with him, and his name is Kyle Regensburg, and he's definitely a mentor of mine today. And spending a year or two somewhere as a young coach, as opposed to 3 to 6 months, is a very valuable experience, because you build a really intimate relationship with your boss as a GA, especially if you go to that Division II school, because he's going to depend on you for a lot of things. You're basically like an associate director. He traveled with football almost every week in the fall, and so when he traveled, I was the only coach on staff there, and I oversaw the football scout team when he was on the road, or I would step in for basketball lifts when he had administrative duties to do. You know what I mean? And it gives you a chance to put some high level things on your resume as well. When I was there, baseball won the conference championship. Men's and women's soccer were both high-level competitors at their level, and basketball, we almost won the conference championship as well. And that's also a valuable experience when you're working in the team setting. I think those are the biggest things when it comes to Division Two. Yeah.
I can dig it, man, because the back in the day, as I start to sound like the old man here, that's how it was at a lot of places where it was just the director and a GA or two, and you used to kind of run the gamut of all sorts of different sports. I mean, shoot, even when I started here, it was a director and one full-time guy over basketball and a couple other teams, and then me as the part-time slash paid intern that had a lot of teams, like somehow had a hand in training 14 different teams, whether it was directly overseeing it or just assisting with the group. So it's, I think that does a couple things. I think it helps weed out people that may not actually truly have a passion for being in it. And I think also it forces you to really learn how to control a room and run the room first. And then as you start to move into a more specialized, if that's even a thing, position, you can take those skills with you and still be able to control the room and have the programming done and this, that, and the third. But now also you can expand into more realms, whether it be helping with the tracking or helping with nutrition or helping with practice or whatever your heart desires at that point.
I 100% agree. Like when you have that amount of teams, or your hand is in that amount of teams, you get a high workload. And when you leave there, like literally any other job you do is easy. When I got to Notre Dame, I had two teams, and I had to assist with pretty much everything else on the Olympic side. And that was one thing that my bosses didn't have to worry about, fortunately, was how well I coached and handled and managed my teams. Obviously, I had other growth points too, but I agree with another point that you make is it weeds out the guys, the coaches that don't necessarily have a passion for this. Our field is so saturated, whether it's like private or team sector or pro sector, whatever. There's so many people that think they want to be in this, but it's tougher than you think.
Yeah, no doubt. And it requires a work ethic. It requires drive. It requires some selflessness at times. And I'm not saying that we need to sit here and bend over and say everything's okay and we just are fine with salaries and hours and all the things that people like to complain about on Twitter, but no one ever offers a real solution to. But in a time too where if you can find studies all over the place that are talking about how people now have less and less of a desire to work hard, like there's less and less work ethic in people.
100%.
But being the son of an immigrant, I would guess that that's very different how things started in your household.
Oh yeah, that's a great topic for sure. I appreciate you bringing that up. Yeah, I mean, growing up, my parents never really like talked to me about work ethic and things like that, but they were more so leaders by example. And a big thing they did talk to me about though was humility and not putting yourself first, but never glorifying yourself, but just putting your head down and working. And I mean, they came here like with almost nothing, and so they kind of just had to work for what they have. And I kind of just saw that, and I don't think at a young age like I knew that's what I was doing, but I think that was just kind of all I knew, you know, just all right, I just got to work to get what I need to do. And even them, like they didn't know what strength and conditioning was. Like it's not really, we're from, my family's from India, and I mean it's not, sports isn't really a pathway back in India, so they really didn't know what I was doing. They didn't really want me to do it at first. But I think they saw that I had like a passion for it, and I basically did what they did, right? Like I worked hard, and I landed myself a few internships, and that's kind of when they realized, okay, like he can actually, he might be able to make something out of this.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that understanding that and seeing, you know, parents that come over here and have to work for everything and build from the bottom up, I mean, it has to have a positive impact, not just on you learning that through example, but how you then can communicate and lead by example to the athletes you get to work with.
Right. I 100% agree. Yeah. Like I said, it's just, it was just about mirroring them. And I think a lot of the lessons they taught me, like you said, I was able to teach my athletes as well. And I'm a big believer that strength and conditioning is those, is that one department within the athletics department where whatever you do, like it's not going to change. The strength coaches are always going to be there. They don't dictate your playing time. The weights are always going to be there. You know, the weights are always going to be there. You just get stronger, you just get weaker, and you have to learn to adapt, right? So that's kind of like how I look at life as well.
I love that, man, because that's definitely, again, kind of piggybacking your upbringing. That's another part of the leadership role that you play with the kids.
Right.
So let's get into some of the things that you're doing right now up in Michigan, man. Like, so when we're talking about building out things when it comes to the culture and the group and all of that, what are some of the things that you've picked up along the way that you're having success with?
Yeah, for sure. So I've only been here for a month, so I'm not gonna say that like I've built like a great program or anything like that. Right now we just wrapped up the off season, and I kind of joined the latter half of the off season. But this past month has been very much about me sitting back and listening to how the culture is here and what the coaching staff wants from me, what the players are seeing, what do they need from me. A lot of it was, so our one of my coworkers was basically covering men's basketball over the summer while the other guy left. And a lot of my programming, it's just I'm continuing it from him just to keep it consistent over the summer. So I haven't implemented too much of my own just yet. A big thing here, I feel like it's just me coming in and adding a little bit of structure and discipline. And like I said, the weight room is a big advocate for that, right? And another big thing is just me being around, my presence being around. Like I firmly believe that I don't just want to be like the weight room guy, but I show up to practice as much as I can. And right now, over the summers, I only have basketball. So I've been able to go to every practice. I've been able to hop in basketball drills with the guys and like get some work done with them on the court as well as in the weight room. And another big thing is with them is just like showing them the little things, you know, like showing up 5 minutes early or just giving them quotes, you know, at the end of lift, just to keep them motivated, keep the intensity going. 'Cause we know all know like in the summers, like it's kind of the dog days, you know, like when you're in the middle of the summer, like it's really not high level basketball going on, like season's 4 months away, you know. So something to keep them motivated, to keep them going. big thing that I'm just trying to preach is three big words that I like to use is energy, effort, and intensity. Those are the big three things. I think I might have tweeted this a while ago, but those are the first three things I teach, before I teach anything like sets and reps, basketball or like VBT, before I teach like coach any of that stuff, the biggest thing I need from them is energy, effort, intensity. So the way we do some of that stuff is we're paired up in partners in the racks. So if you're not lifting at the moment, I expect them to be cheering their partner on, speaking, communicating with them, coaching them up, just being a positive voice. And then when we go from station to station, let's say you go from a squat in the rack to, let's say you got to go to the side to do like your vertical jumps or hurdle hops or something. I expect them to be jogging from station to station, right? And everything needs to be at an urgent pace. We need to have urgency to win. Need to have, like I said before, high intensity, high effort, high energy. Right now, it's just about laying these like groundwork rules down of how much effort and intensity I need from them, and then I can get to tracking the numbers. To be honest, I haven't really been even tracking like how much they're lifting, how fast they're moving, how high they're jumping yet. Because I'm just trying to build like the buy-in from them, the trust from them. Until I get that, honestly, I don't think I'll even be able to track like how high they're jumping. They might not even give me full effort, you know. So it's really just about laying the groundwork of the culture right now.
So where did the idea come for those three words to be the driving factor behind your programming?
Yeah, so I so a big place that I learned a lot of my cultural kind of drive from was at Northwestern. The director there, his name is Adam Herman. He used three words. It was energy, effort, enthusiasm. I kind of just made my own twist on it with intensity, because to be honest, coach, like in my own life, that's kind of how I try to live my life, whether it's my professional life, my personal life. I try to have high energy, like which means like positive body attitude, like always being giving an effort for things, and then have high intensity, like attention to detail, organization with things that I do. And so I'm trying to live those things, so it's very easy for me to coach those things. And I believe it's those like intangibles that kind of help you drive a championship program. In my opinion, I think like high character is like one of the biggest things. That's just stuff that I've picked up over time, like whether with my experience coaching athletes or from reading some great books that teach about those kind of things. And I've seen it work. Whether those are the three words or a coach has some other pillars that they use, some other words to define their program. I feel like as long as you have those pillars and you stay consistent with them, you define them. I think like you can put whatever you want, you know, you can make a family, whatever. As long as you have them defined for the players and the coaches are backing you up, I think it works.
Yeah, it's just a simpler way to set a standard to hold people to hold people accountable to build upon later.
Right.
Yeah, and that standard is going to drive everything. So with that now, let's talk about coming up through the system then, right? Because I think that this is something too, as a guy who probably had to be an intern a little longer than you wanted, right? There's a lot of people that sit here and complain and would want to quit or just complain and not keeping their head down and keep working to find a way through it. Or would quit, right? Would find something different to do. So for the younger coaches who are listening to this, who are in a situation now where they're on their second or third internship, where they're wondering if they're going to find what's next. What's your advice to them? What are some things that you did that helped you get through all that?
So one big thing that I've heard over the years that I recently reflected back on my life that I think I did really well was stay consistent. I think over all the things I've done in my life, I've stayed consistent within strength and conditioning. I kind of just picked a path. Like I want to be a college strength coach, and I went after it. So no matter what happens, like you can't have any emotional ties to it. It's because this field is very fickle. It's very roller coaster. Like it's gonna be up and down. You can't have any emotional ties to whether you want to be in it or not, because there's gonna be times where you're gonna feel like you don't want to be in it. All I can really tell you is kind of my experience. two of the hardest times of my, well, the first one, first hardest time of my life, probably one of them was when I was looking for a graduate assistant spot. Around the same time I was taking the CSCS, and I graduated college December of 2020, I believe it was, and I took the CSCS, and I didn't pass it. And then I did my internship at Northwestern. Halfway through, I got offered like a part-time job, but it was on the condition that I passed that test. So this was like March 6th of 2021. I still remember the date. And it was literally a situation where I was taking the test March 5th, and if I passed, I would be moving down there March 6th. It turned out I didn't pass the test. So it was a huge like emotional like heartbreaker for me. I was like, that was when I got to the point where I was like, do I still want to do this, or can I even like do this? You know what I mean? But I knew I had like the coaches behind me. They were telling me, you can do it, you know, like you have great potential to be a coach. And I think the one driving factor was for me, was just the curiosity of can I actually do it, and determining like, all right, I want to defeat the odds. You know, like I'm not somebody that's a great test taker at all, you know, but I kind of just persevered through it. So they told me, all right, you got to go do another internship, right? So I had to do one more volunteer internship. And when I was there, I kind of just studied my butt off, you know, and I had to sacrifice certain things. Like I told you, I'm not a great test taker, right? So during my 3 months there, there was probably a month where I couldn't even like lift because I had to spend that time studying. Like that was just a sacrifice I had to make, you know, and I just woke up a little bit early, stayed up a little bit late, you know, making those sacrifices for what you want. I think like the you know, for me, the dream is to be like a strength coach, you know. So that's kind of something that I was wanting. And then during that whole process, interviewing for a graduate assistant spots, those guys that I was working with at that time, they'll tell you like I probably interviewed for more places than anybody. Like I got at least one interview with almost like every place that I interviewed at or applied for. But I mean, either I couldn't seal the interview, or I needed the CSCS, and I just had to keep pushing through it, you know. And a big word that comes to mind is like resiliency, you know. Like if you fail, like you just got to keep going, and it's not about how many times you fail, right? Like failure is just an opportunity to get better. And then the second one was here at Notre, well, my last spot at Notre Dame. I started interviewing for full-time jobs at in January. My first interview, or my first like whole interview process, I got to the third round. Like the school invited me on onto campus. They took me out to lunch, all that stuff, and it was a basketball job, which is what I was wanting. And a couple weeks later, I got the call that I didn't get the job. And when you go on a third round interview, like it's very emotional. Like, all right, like this is so surreal. It's the moment. Like they're wanting me, so they're inviting me on campus, you know. But it was a humbling process. So like over the past 9 months, right? Like I've been interviewing, getting rejected, interviewing, getting rejected. But again, you gotta. My biggest thing is just push through. If you really want it, like somebody will hire you. You know, like it only takes one. Right, it only takes one place to hire you, and that's all you need. You don't need like five job offers. I probably applied to like probably 80 places, you know, and interviewed maybe, I don't know, maybe 10, and got offered by one, maybe two. That's just how it works. Our field is so small, but there's so many people that want to work in it. So I think just being aware of that, right? Like the supply and demand of strength coaches, like the economics of it is crazy, like negative. There's a huge supply of strength coaches, but not a big demand for strength coaches, at least not in the team setting. And so because of that, the pay is going to be low. The hours are going to be crazy, but I mean, if you really want it, like I said, you got to push through, you got to persevere, got to stay resilient, because you're going to fail. It's not, there's no doubt about it. Like everybody's gonna fail. But you just gotta keep, like, it's about how many times you get back up, you know. But yeah.
Yeah, and then it's a matter of can you find a way to make it work, you know? And I get that it's harder today than it was in 2000 when I started. It's harder today than it was in 2004 when I started here. But what I think you're saying, and I think that it's really an important message that, if there's a will, there's a way. And if
Right.
people realize the math behind the whole thing, right? If you stop for a minute and you think about what most people earn and the hours most people work in this vocation, sure, it's not for everybody. That's fine. Like, that's fine. But if it's not for you, I don't think it's necessarily fair to complain that you're not getting what you want from a field that you, it's well documented, put all over the internet, right? Like
Right.
what to expect. Like you can't
Right.
walk into a room, like that's like walking into a Bikram yoga class and expecting that you should wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants. It's
Exactly.
120 degrees in the room. Like, so if you know the situation you're getting in and you can prepare yourself to be in that situation, both mentally, psychologically, physically, financially, and you can build through the situation, that's the way you're going to find success through it all.
100%, 100%. I think the last thing I would add for that, like in this type of conversation, is we talk about like how saturated the field is and how much you can, I mean, how hard you got to work and you got to know what you're getting into. Because there's only so many jobs, like the biggest thing that I was doing was networking. And it's not just networking, it's building relationships with people. Right, like it was kind of a situation where every other week I was trying to either reach out to a new coach or administrator or reconnect with an old one, because if there's only so many jobs, like people are gonna only hire people that they trust or people that they know can do a good job, right? So if they don't know who you are, then you're not gonna get hired. One of the reasons I got this job was because of word of mouth, like recommendations, and some of the other places that I had interviews at, same type of deal. I would highly recommend, oh, this is kind of like a random point, but I've read a book called The Wealth of Nations. And I would highly recommend any strength coach to read that. And it'll kind of give you an idea of what it's like to work in our field and why it is the way it is. Because you were talking about a lot of people complaining about our situation, right? Not getting paid that much, the hours being a lot. But if you understand why, like I said, the supply and demand of our field, you'll know that's the reason why. It's because of what that is.
Yeah, man, totally. And it there's only so much that you can do to correct that in the exact moment.
Exactly.
There has to be a multitude of other factors that go into things to change it. And that's another talk for another day. But
Yeah, we could go on about on for hours about that,
yeah, I definitely have some thoughts on that that I'll keep to myself for now, but maybe
right?
one day I'll share my mindset with that. But listen, Aaron, this has been a great 30 minutes, man. Hearing your voyage and understanding, how this can be better for some of the younger coaches out there, I think is fantastic. I think it's really important, for
For
people to
sure.
understand those things. But before we get you out of here, bro, what, where can people get in touch with you? Where can they follow you on the socials and all that so that we can make sure people are seeing what you're doing up there?
Yeah, for sure. The biggest platform I'm active on is on Twitter. It's Strength Coach A. And then on Instagram, it's just Strength Coach Abe. And I did recently actually start a newsletter of mine. I haven't really posted anywhere, but it's just called the Leadership Newsletter. It's on my social media, like bio link. If anybody wants to follow along, like my journey, I'll be definitely writing on there. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. We'll make sure all that's in the notes and so that people can hop over the newsletter and subscribe, and people are following you on Twitter and Instagram or X or whatever we're supposed to call it
X,
now.
yeah,
Yeah, but nah, man, dude, really grateful for your time today, Aaron. Thank you so much. This was great.
appreciate it. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, man, we'll be in touch real soon.
All right, bye.
And as always, thank you for everything y'all do for us here at Central Virginia Sport Performance. We'll be back next week with another awesome guest. We will see you then.